Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Abyssal Charge by Matthew Peed. Narrated by Chloe Cannon. Chapter 1. Azaria. I stared at the immobilized Terleza, the goddess that had put me in this mess. Even if Starburst had been the perpetrator, she was the mastermind. I would be lying to myself if I said I didn't want to end her existence right here and now. Unfortunately, we needed to keep her alive to make sure the other gods and goddesses monitoring our world stayed off our scent for a while longer. The goddess glared back. If looks could kill. Ironically, hers could. Thus, I was forced to seal her in a cell designed by my genius boyfriend. Thomas had used the technology on the station, along with expertise brought to the table by Mercury, to construct the place that now held Terleza. The cell suppressed all her magic, telepathy, dimensional technology, and techniques. Even with all that, I still had her bound in a triple layer of mithril links to be sure she couldn't escape. The final touch was the suppressing cube that had contained Vudur for centuries.
I never thought I'd witness this day,
Starburst mumbled next to me. The lower god turned dungeon boss used to work for her. I could imagine that it was both a rough and a joyous day. If the stories I'd heard about their work conditions were to be believed, then I guessed he was glad to be done with the job. I tapped on the glass with a big smile for Terleza, even going so far as to wave to her. The trapped goddess started to growl at me. Content with the small amount of torment, I turned to Starburst. Don't worry, I plan to have more in there before long. There are at least 10 intermediate gods stationed to observe Earth. North America will be unwatched for a few weeks.
I shook my head.
Better to be safe and say a few days. We need to gather as much power as we can before one of the others comes poking around. Starburst and I left the cell and started heading up the dungeon. We had to plan our next moves, and while I wanted to hurry and make said move, it was best if we included all our allies in the planning. The powered among the humans would ultimately be the strongest force against the threat we all faced. Even if I continued to jump to lost worlds, increasing my power alone would not help much in the long run.
The others will be hard to take down individually,
Starburst remarked as we reached the city floor of my dungeon. The multitude of different Barbies and Kins, all doing various jobs around the city, was odd even for me, their creator since I had created them. For one, I didn't think my imagination was that powerful. Even though they were wearing different clothes and often had different bodies, all the faces were identical. It took some getting used to, more so now that they'd reached the 4-digit mark in population in the city. I looked away from the moving dolls back to Starburst. I didn't think we could. I know this event was mostly a fluke, especially since she started calling in reinforcements. That could have made things much worse if the gods weren't such pricks.
I know you spent almost 3 years on another world, but it is hard to reconcile you with that little girl I knew when all this started.
Starburst chuckled.
I almost miss the scared crybaby sometimes.
I jumped up into the air and landed on his shoulders. Don't worry, I'm still plenty scared. I've seen what they do to worlds that don't serve them. I leaned over and put my face near his. I would have to be stupid not to be scared of that. Starburst frowned but didn't say anything else on the matter. We made our way through the dungeon up to the surface. It was amusing. I was designed to kill anything that entered my halls just to help the intelligent beings of this planet put off just a bit more ether for our faraway masters. Now, I was taking that power they gave me and turning it against them. The sounds of fighting filled the third floor. Unlike before, the amusement park had been altered some. The rides had lost their lethality, much to the chagrin of Amelia. Neo's people were using the top 3 floors of my dungeon to train. Since our world depended on it, I needed the humans to be as powerful as they could get. Just to be sure, none of them are going past the third floor, correct? I asked, poking Starburst on the cheek. I might have spent 3 years on a station floating in space, but I still had to make him uncomfortable when I could. He pushed my hand away.
No. We have the city to warn us, as well as guards posted on the path down, but none have attempted to go farther in the first place.
That's good to hear. I couldn't let anyone near my core. With 3 of the Magi cubes, as Terleza had called them, in my possession, the area around my core had become chaos itself. It was stable, for now. But if something, say, a powered with more brawns than brains, were to try anything, I wasn't quite sure what would happen. The Pacrix cube alone could trigger an event that would cause this world to cease to exist on the timeline. I preferred not to let that happen on my watch. The second floor cave maze and the first floor mansion were both at capacity with combatants as well. Neo had been recruiting heavily the last few days to fill the ranks. I was happy to have him on our side. He was powerful and influential. That was a combination that was sorely needed in our group. The only ones who came close to his status were my parents, but I'd learned over the last few days that while they did have an organization, it mostly consisted of people who gave them information about mistreated powered and commons, as some of the general public were referred. They served as an iron fist to keep certain elements in check, but worked alone for the most part. That was all well and fine until the world relied on them. 2 people just weren't enough to save the entire planet, no matter how powerful. On the surface next to the mansion sat a new building. I had taken the liberty to construct it after our battle with Terleza. I was tired of working out of tents and knew firsthand how easy it was for people to sneak in and steal information. So that the powered could have some peace of mind, I didn't connect the structure to my mansion. While most of the powered who worked for my parents or Neo knew I was on their side, some of them found it hard to break old habits. Starburst and I teleported to a back room, then walked out into the command center. This place was quickly becoming the brain of our operations. Unlike down in the dungeon, this place was where my parents' organization shined. They were truly a well-oiled machine that kept people moving to where they were needed. I walked over to DJ Rhea, working with her mixer and a 12+ magical transparent screens to one side of the room. The doll was my eyes and ears around the city, not to mention inside the various different worlds that we would be going to over the next few days. She was scouting them out with disposable dolls before we sent actual people this time. We came back from our first trips, but it didn't take an expert to tell that we got extremely lucky. How are things looking, Rhea?
Yo, mother in the house. The powered are working hard. Other organizations are starting to sense something is up, she replied with a rap. 4 worlds checked, dead as last night's party.
I narrowed my eyes at her. You threw another party?
Nope, but I tried.
Sighing, I just shook my head before walking back to the conference room where the others were waiting. Neo, Serena, my parents, Thomas, and Mercury were the ones I was comfortable with. They took up one side of the table. Serena, the version of Lance who'd experienced the future of the city when it was pulled into another dimension by the Pacrix cube, had fused with some sort of scaled monster. Not that she looked back. The monster had overpowered all the other parts that she'd been absorbing, giving her a much more singular figure. While she was clearly more powerful thanks to the addition, I often found her nude or barely wearing anything to cover herself. Neo was his usual self, cloaked in black, tight-fitting clothes. He made it hard for people to figure out what was hiding under the layers of cloth. He was one of the few powered that I knew to fear, even if we were on the same side, though that was mainly due to his overwhelming power. How do you stop something that could literally ignore all the physical matter around them? That was a question I had to figure out before I could deal with Neo. Then there were my parents. They almost seemed out of place with the smiles plastered on their faces as they looked at me. For them, it was like I'd come back from the dead. I was happy to be reunited with them, but there had already been a few instances of their overprotectiveness trying to shine through. I knew it came from a good place, so I ignored it.
Dad's elegant robes and Mom's golden full-plate armor reminded me of a king and his royal knight, but I made sure to keep that to myself. My mother was probably the most powerful woman in the city. She didn't need Dad to show others who was boss. On the other side, the temperature seemed to drop, mainly due to two people. Lance, the one from this timeline, and Sarah were glaring at each other, with another woman I believed to be named Luna sitting in between them. Sarah had a burly-looking man with her that was giving off seriously powerful vibes, but I hadn't seen him before, not even in the alternative future of the city. This Lance had almost absorbed something that unified her body, some sort of wolf or dog creature. She was now covered in thick, spotted, light brown fur. Her ears had moved partially up her head and taken the rounded shape of whatever creature they'd come from. I'd asked once what it was, but she'd seemed reluctant to tell me. At least she didn't seem bothered by clothes and wore some nice-looking leather armor. Serena knew about the timeline event, but Lance just thought that Serena was a powered from the city. Since I had no idea what might happen if they interacted with such knowledge, I felt it was best to leave it like that. Her sister had looked similar to Lance when I first met her, a common, everyday teenager you would find getting on the bus heading for school. She even had an oversized hoodie that made her look completely ordinary. Thus, it was a shame that this girl could easily rip out the heart of anyone she saw fit. That was a scary power. Finally, sitting at the end of the table was one third of the Trinity. The other two were down in my dungeon, watching over the cubes and my core. Their features were the most unique in the room. Pale skin was the only thing that was even remotely human-like. Their hair, eyes, and clothes were a brilliant silver. I might have only met them just over a week ago, but I found myself easily trusting them. I could sense their purity and their desire. I moved to the other end of the table and everyone turned to face me. I still found it hard to believe that I, of all people, was in charge of this rebellion. Shouldn't we find a general from the military? That had been one of my ideas until I'd found out that most high-level military were killed during the first few weeks of the ether shift. It might have sounded like a coincidence a few weeks ago, but now we knew better. "I'm glad that you all made it, despite everything that is going on in the world," I said. Mom shook her head. "We all want to help." "That's to be decided," Sarah retorted, shoving her hands in her hoodie's pocket. "I came because even I don't want to make an enemy of Neo, and I would be stupid to ignore what happened the other night."
"I think it's pretty stupid to attack your own flesh and blood," Lance snapped before she even finished.
Sarah smirked at Lance. "If you want, dear sister, we can go outside and finish this right now. I'm sure we can handle this without you."
Lance ripped off a piece of the table in her anger. "You know what? Let's do it, you little bitch."
I sent a pulse of ether through the air. "Enough. We need every hand we can get. This is a world-ending... No, that's not large enough to describe it. This is a universe-ending threat. They have crushed hundreds of thousands of worlds over the centuries. It will take all of us to achieve our goal."
Sarah and Lance continued to glare at each other until Lance finally huffed and sat back down.
Sarah snorted before turning back to me. "What exactly is our goal?"
Chapter 2. Serena. It was a surreal feeling, if I were being honest with myself. As I looked across the table at what was essentially myself, I had given up that life when I took the name Serena, but my past still remained. I couldn't just throw it all away even if I wanted to. Adding my little sister into the mix only made the sensation worse. Sarah slammed her fist onto the table with a strength that seemed mismatched with her body.
"Tell me! What exactly is your goal?"
It looked like she was more of a hothead than I knew. Just when had I lost sight of the girl? Was it even before the ether shift? I shook my head, knowing I would probably never know the answer to those questions.
Azaria cleared her throat before leaning forward in her seat to project an air of seriousness. We have several goals. We have to remove the gods' influence from Earth, unite the people in our cause, search over worlds for potential allies, and gather weapons that might aid in defeating the gods once and for all, not to mention probably 100 other things that have to be handled.
Sarah flopped back in her chair, looking exactly her age.
Oh, is that all?
She snorted before crossing her arms.
Why should I believe you? For all I know, you could be setting a trap for us.
Perhaps I am. If I were, however, I wouldn't do you the favor of revealing my hand to you.
Azaria looked Sarah over. We look about the same age, but all I see is a spoiled child who turned her back on everything, even her family. Don't you have a mother in the hospital? Does she know about your power and wealth, which, if used, could easily cure her?
I looked at Azaria with wide eyes. Damn, she didn't hold back. I was curious about the answers myself, but hadn't expected to have the topics brought up like this. Still, my new state of mind made it easy to separate the issue from myself. It was the official Lance's problem. She was the main part of this timeline. It was best for me to keep my nose out of it if I could. Speaking of her, Lance was looking at Sarah with a wide smirk.
Yeah, little sister. Do tell.
None of that is either of your concern, Sarah retorted.
I gently rapped my knuckle against the table. Let's get back on topic. While I was curious of the answer, I could see the girl starting to withdraw. If we lost her assistance, it could spell trouble later down the road. I doubted she would try to move against us, but I preferred not to take that chance. I glanced over to Neo, who looked like he was sleeping, to see if he had anything to add, but he was playing the part of a statue to perfection. Sighing, I turned back to Azaria.
What do you think we should focus on first?
Azaria cast her gaze over the room before nodding.
Very well. Let me catch everyone up on the current situation.
Azaria explained the true state of the world and others out there that the gods had visited in the past. How it was all a trick in order to farm ether for a world far removed from our own.
I have the ability to traverse the universe looking for allies and artifacts that might be used to aid us. While I could easily go to each world personally, that would take far too much time to produce results. I will be honest in saying that we've gotten extremely lucky so far. Each world we've visited was going through what could only be called the apocalypse.
Neo gave only a single nod. I swore I thought he might seriously be asleep.
We both knew all this information, after all.
We had just wanted to bring everyone who'd played a major role during the Goddess Terleza's battle into the Circle. We also planned to have another meeting with the weaker powered over the next few days. The organizations that played a major role in the city would be key in mounting any sort of real resistance against the threat we found ourselves facing.
Shinigami,
Anahilok said when it looked like Sarah still wasn't going to believe Azaria.
I know you have issues trusting her due to her nature as a dungeon, but you know us well enough. We can assure you that this woman was our daughter. We lost her at the beginning of the ether shift. These monsters turned our own people against us.
Sarah stuck her nose in the air.
Well, that doesn't put her in the clear yet. I will give you the benefit of the doubt simply on your credit. I'm glad you are on board. Your participation in this will be greatly appreciated given your strength.
Azaria stood up and started pacing.
The first thing that I plan on handling is the remaining dungeons in the city. A few of them have memories of their lives as humans. Not as complete as my own, but enough to make the process of getting them on our side easier. Thomas here is one such dungeon master.
Thomas waved with an awkward smile.
Hello.
What makes you special?
Sarah asked with a raised eyebrow.
Why did it take you nearly a year to become active? The circumstances of my creation were a bit accidental. While I was being converted into a dungeon core, I inadvertently killed the person doing the deed. That left the ritual to operate on automatic. Thankfully, I kept my memories.
Azaria covered her eyes with her hands, looking momentarily mournful.
I was told that if I didn't act like a proper dungeon, then I would likely be destroyed, either by the gods or by human hands. Thus, I recruited Lance here, who had been betrayed and framed, to lure only villains into my dungeon. At least I could feel a little better about ridding the earth of some scum if I was going to be forced to kill people either way. Kyle. I didn't care for him too much. His heart didn't taste that good either, Sarah commented, with a smirk toward Lance.
Seriously? What did I do to piss you off so much?
Lance demanded with a groan. I was curious about that, too. Unfortunately, Sarah just went quiet and didn't reply.
You can handle your family problems later,
remarked Neo as he stood up.
Dungeon Core Azaria. My men and I would like to be responsible for heading into the dimensional portals.
That would make things a lot easier, but I'm not sure your men are really up to the task,
Azaria replied as she sat back down.
You lost a few of them on the last trip.
I know. Serena here is going to go with me, too. We have plans in motion to get my men stronger as well.
Azaria looked at me, and I gave her a nod. I would like to accompany him if you don't mind. We need to explore these worlds quickly. I know the answer is in one of them. She stared at me for a few minutes before bobbing her head.
Got it. Azaria looked over to Lance and Sarah. Then I would like to ask you two to perform an equally dangerous task, but given your powers, I don't think you'll mind.
What is it?
Lance asked.
I need you to make contact with the leaders of Glacier Fall, formerly Detroit, and Heaven's Peak, formerly Indianapolis. We must get their powered and dungeons behind this as quickly as possible. If feasible, I would like to have all of North America under our banner by the end of summer.
That's impossible!
The outburst didn't come from either Lance or Sarah, but from the woman sitting between them, Luna.
The monsters in the wasteland are completely different from the dungeons around here.
I think everyone here knows that, Azaria remarked.
Then you're okay with sending them on a suicide mission?
Azaria shook her head with a sigh.
I don't think they will have a problem. They will probably come back stronger than all of us. Like you said, the monsters out there are on another level.
Azaria looked over to the Hylocks.
Mom and Dad will stay in the city and help manage the local powered. Short of Neo, they are the strongest and most recognized powered in the group.
Sounds like a plan, dear,
Anna said with a soft smile. I pushed my chair back and stood up. Neo joined me, though he left without saying anything. I cleared my throat and looked at the others.
Looks like things are settled here for the time being. Let me know when the next portal is opened.
Will do,
Azaria said with a thumbs up. I returned it, then followed after Neo. Once we were outside, I asked him what he thought of the meeting. He shrugged.
Could have been worse.
I moved next to him as he made for the parked car.
What do you want to do?
He was sort of the only person who understood what I was going through and supported me. Azaria knew the details, but I felt like she was so far removed with everything going on right now that she wouldn't be much in the way of moral support. Neo paused as he opened the door to the car to look back at the building we'd just left.
Get stronger. Strength is the only law in this universe. Our guests have made that loud and clear.
I could only agree with that statement. I climbed into the passenger side. Neo burned rubber as he accelerated out of the parking lot into the street. When you are the most powerful person in the city, you didn't have to follow the laws of the road. Since it would be a minute until we reached his complex, I pulled up my status to see how I was doing.
Serena, level 41. Race, Chimera, dragon-influenced. Type, Perfect Harvester. Ether, 15,000 to 15,000. Skills, Harvest, Energy Harvest, Ether Barrier, Perfect Control. Harvests, Night Dragon, Brain, Dragon Language, Dragon Magic, Heart, Breath of Darkness, Wing, Flight, Liver, poison immunity, lung, unending breath, gizzard, ether gain plus 100, scales, max, impenetrable armor, claws, max, mithril hands, heart of the chimera, breath of fire, incubus tool, mental fortitude, scale of the corrupted lizard, 50% poison resistance, goblin soul, malice, dark vision, concentrated breathing, dominate, black heart's armor, poison breath, natural weapon, eat anything, durable, keen hearing, gluttony, physic toad, telekinesis, jump, increased tongue, toxic breath, praying mantis, acid gland, scythe blade, exoskeleton, scorpion, natural armor, heavy pincer, poison gland, burrow, stinger, kobold, dragon hide, dragon language, sense treasure, treant, regrowth, commune nature, photosynthesis, demigod's muscle, super strength, demigod's brain, damaged, mental control resistance, demigod's heart, regeneration, minimum, human's heart, chaos times two, human's lung, fortitude times two, human's brain, fire, water, earth, tunnel rat tendon, scurry plus two, lower mimic storage sac, storage, sanguine demon, bloodlust, advanced, ether manipulation, muscle manipulation, stone flesh, iron bones, chained hunger, elf, heart, long life, liver, toxin resistance, lung, long breath, bone, nimble, lower god, achievements, trading with chaos, you achieved something few could claim. While it might appear to be dumb luck, even luck has a place in the universe. Ether gain plus one per hour. Solo hunter, you defeated a dungeon on your own. Very few can claim the same. Great achievements deserve great rewards. Ether plus 1,000. One that became a monster. You did it. You left your weak humanity behind. Ability, ether barrier. Touched divinity. Dragons are divine messengers. As such, they seek perfection. You have taken such a being into your body. You will be greatly influenced by this. Ability, perfect control. Looking at the status almost made me chuckle. I had come a long way since that day I was nearly raped and killed by Kyle. I almost had to thank him. If those events hadn't happened, I might still be nothing more than a harvester for dungeon divers. Clenching my fist, feeling the power flowing through my veins, I vowed never to go back to that pitiful version of myself. I got this power from the dragon you killed in the wastes. I almost want to be put on that team, I commented, watching the city flying by. A normal human would have trouble seeing the finer details with the speed we were going, but I had no such difficulties. You need not worry about that. I'm having some of my men who are able to handle the beasts in the wastes gather materials for you, Neo remarked, catching me off guard. I knew we were allies, but that was a significant investment just for me. I couldn't help but ask, why? Because there are few people I trust, and even fewer who make it worth my time to help. You qualify on both counts. Besides, my father would never let me hear the end of it if I didn't help you. Just between us. But I think he sees you as a replacement for my sister. Warmth filled my heart at his words. I probably owed my life to old Lou and Neo. I would have to make sure I repaid their kindness. I will have to pay him a visit soon. He would like that. Neo barely slowed as he flew into the driveway to his house, only missing the opening gate by a few inches. He came to a stop next to the garage with perfect precision. A few months ago, that would have terrified me. Now, I barely blinked an eye at the reckless driving. Even if we did have a wreck, both of us could walk away without any injuries. Just another change to my life that I had barely noticed.
Chapter 3. Lance.
Luna and I stormed out of the meeting.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?